Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison, Rob Brent producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we are happy to be joined by Jay Binkley. We'll talk some Chiefs training camp. Coverage of training camp on 610 Sports Radio is presented by Blue KC. Live healthy with Blue KC. So, I don't know why, but yesterday when I went home, I couldn't really shake Mecole Hardman from my mental. I saw a couple of texts yesterday on the text line when we were discussing Mecole Hardman, and the prevailing sentiment seemed to be it takes some players a little bit longer to come around than others, but normally by year three is when you figure out what you have as a player. I think that's an antiquated system. I feel like over the next 10 minutes, I can convince you that's an antiquated system. But before we do that, I want to play this audio for you because so far at training camp, I think this has been the audio cut of camp is what Mecole Hardman had to say.
I think it's probably one of my most important seasons coming into this training camp. So I think it's just up to me, you know, personally to do what I need to do and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to me and just, you know, gain the trust of, you know, the coaches, you know, the rest of the staff and Pat, you know, and my teammates and just show them that, you know, I can be a viable asset every Sunday or whatever day we plan on day in, day out and just, you know, continue to improve on my game as the season goes.
So that was Mecole Hardman as he met with the media and you heard just there, they had a conversation about trust. I don't know if Mecole Hardman has gained the trust yet of Andy Reid. I don't know if he's gained the trust yet of Patrick Mahomes. I've seen way too many miscommunications. Mahomes thought that Hardman was zigging and he was zagging, and they just haven't really connected and been on the same page. Now, I want to apologize for one thing we said yesterday. I think comparing Mecole Hardman to Tavon Austin is a little bit extreme. Now, I understand why people are doing it, but if you look at Tavon Austin's career, what his heights were, Mecole Hardman has been better than that. The most yards receiving that Tavon Austin had in his NFL career was 509. Now, he was a dual threat kind of guy. He's had a season in which he rushed for over 400 yards, but he's never had a season in which he's had more than 10 touchdowns. He's just never really been that guy. I think Mecole Hardman is a better, more talented, more skilled player than Tavon Austin. So putting that label on him to me just seems to be a little bit unfair. But I do want to go through one thing with you. These are the first and second round wide receivers in Mecole Hardman's class. Because one thing I think sort of limits Mecole Hardman, at least when it comes to these conversations, is some people are always going to compare him to DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf has turned into arguably one of the five best receivers in the NFL. He is a physical freak. He is a speed demon. He is one of the more talented players in the NFL. He also got drafted to the right situation. He gets drafted by Pete Carroll. He gets to play with Russell Wilson. He gets to play alongside Tyler Lockett, who's one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. You can't really be asked to be placed in a better situation than what DK Metcalf was coming out of Ole Miss. But these are the wide receivers who were drafted in the first and second round Mecole Hardman's rookie year. And I bring these guys up because my theory is once you get to year three, you have a really good understanding of the kind of player you have. These were the picks. Hollywood Brown, who got drafted by the Ravens. N'Keal Harry, Curtis Samuel, A.J. Brown, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Paris Campbell, Andy Isabella, D.K. Metcalf. Now, for those of you that play fantasy football, this next little bit is for you. You know who's good on this list and who ain't good. We ain't really waiting to see if N'Keal Harry has a little bit more juice left in the tank. We know he doesn't have any more left in the tank, at least when it comes to the New England Patriots. And right now, the Patriots could not give N'Keal Harry away. Rob, he was just available for a sixth-round pick, right? Anybody in the league can go get N'Keal Harry right now who is still on a rookie contract and still has 2 years left under that rookie deal before you have to decide on an option, and nobody wants N'Keal Harry right now. We're not waiting around to year three to see what N'Keal Harry is. I think we know at this point. Curtis Samuel. I think we know exactly what Curtis Samuel is. I don't know if Curtis Samuel can be an elite wide receiver in the NFL. Is he a good wide receiver? Sure. But is he going to be an elite type player in the league? I doubt it. I don't know if he's going to be that kind of player. You then keep moving down the list. A.J. Brown. I think we know what A.J. Brown is. Probably a top, 25 receiver in the league? Top 30 receiver in the league? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Who? Paris Campbell. Who? Andy Isabella. Who? D.K. Metcalf. Top 5 receiver in the league. Now, Rob, I want you to chime in on this, but am I off in this? I think at this point, the numbers are sort of in the favor of this is what Mecole Hardman can be. Now, we expect there to be a jump this season because now with no Sammy Watkins, somebody has to take those snaps. Somebody has to get those targets. But in year one, he had 538 yards. In year two, he had 560. There just isn't really many recent examples of a player that goes from a healthy rookie year, a healthy sophomore year where they're around a 600-yard receiver, and then they magically jump up and become an 1,100-yard receiver. Maybe that's not your expectations for Mecole Hardman. I don't think it should be. I'd be really happy this year if Hardman had 750 yards receiving and gave you 200 yards rushing. If you got that from Mecole Hardman, I would consider that to be a plus this season. If he can stay healthy and get back to being explosive, in 2019, he had 20 yards a catch. In 2020, he had 13 yards a catch. He had more touchdowns. He was just a more productive player in 2019. There's really no argument. He was worse in just about every single area his second year as opposed to his rookie year. If that's the case, 750 yards, become a little bit more involved in the rush, in the running game, 150, 200 yards, give us 900 total yards from scrimmage. I think everybody would take that with Mecole Hardman. He's not going to be DK Metcalf. He's not going to be AJ Brown. I don't think he's going to be Curtis Samuel at this point in his career. Is Hollywood Brown still a realistic expectation for him? Like, at this point with Hollywood Brown, I think we know that he's not a number one wide receiver. I got questions if he can really be your number two receiver, but he's certainly a productive player. So that's my thing on Mecole Hardman. I think Mecole Hardman has a clear role. I think it is a very defined role. I just question, Rob, if we're going to see Mecole Hardman jump from being a 538-yard guy, a 560-yard guy in year two. I don't think you take the jump to 900 yards receiving in year three. I think the realistic expectation for Mecole Hardman should be around a 700 to 750 yards.
I 100% agree with everything you said. You're right. You look at that listing. Mecole Hardman is probably more Hollywood Brown than he is DK Metcalf. And in Kansas City, we're harsh on Mecole Hardman because you look at the players he was drafted around, and everyone points to DK Metcalf. But it is worth noting Paris Campbell and Isabella are worse than Mecole Hardman. That's a thing. But this is kind of a point I made yesterday when it came to Noah Gray. I agree with you. I think Hardman can jump from a 500, 600 yard a year guy to maybe a 750 at max 800 yard guy, which I agree with you. I apologize for yesterday when I called him Tavon Austin, is better than anything Tavon Austin could possibly imagine in the NFL. But is that what you deem to be WR2? A guy who pumps out 800 yards? Maybe, because I'm looking at Sammy Watkins' numbers, and Sammy Watkins literally never did that in Kansas City. It never happened. He never hit 800 yards. So maybe you can be a productive WR2 if you are in the 750 to 800 range. That's possible. And maybe we are too harsh because we say he's not DK Metcalf, but he's better than Andy Isabella. But I do think Chiefs fans are a little bit pie in the sky when it comes to the idea that this 600-yard-a-year type of player can jump up to be a 1,000-yard type of player. I think at year three, you're a known commodity. McColl may have a little bit more upward mobility, but he's a known commodity. And it's a fine commodity, but it is what it is. And honestly, looking at the numbers, it kind of is Sammy Watkins.
Someone on the text line says, look at Devontae Adams. That would be the best-case scenario for McColl Hardman. Devontae Adams was actually really bad his first 2 years in the league. He had 446 yards and 3 touchdowns. His second year, he had 483 yards and only 1 touchdown. And then by year 3, I don't know, something clicked with Devontae Adams. He also started getting targeted a lot more. Listen to the targets the last couple of years for Devontae Adams. 121, 117, 169, 127, and last year, 149 targets. McColl Hardman got targeted 41 times last year and 62 times his rookie year. How many targets do we think are realistic? Because I think in this offense, is sort of the conversation we were having with Noah Gray, is at some point, there's only so much that can go around for everybody. We all know that Kelce and Hill are going to absorb a lot of what's going on. Kelce's going to get his 130 targets this year. Tyreek Hill's going to get his 140 targets this year. Now you got to factor in that you're going to throw the ball maybe 60, 70 times out of the backfield to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, at some point, there's only so many pass attempts to go around. So when I give McColl Hardman 750 yards, I'm trying to think realistically. How many times do we think they're throwing the ball his way? 80 times this year at the absolute most? That's probably, I would say, on the high end when it comes to McColl Hardman. I just think when it comes to him, we need to be very realistic about what our expectations are and what we think he can turn into. I don't think turning into Devontae Adams is very realistic. Devontae Adams went from being a guy who his first 2 years in the league had less than 500 yards, and then 3 years later arguably became the best wide receiver in the NFL. I would say that is the best case scenario, a very utopic scenario turning out for McColl Hardman. I think we have a good idea at least of how he's going to be used in this offense. He's going to be a guy who on the high end, I think, gives you 800 yards receiving. And if you get 800 yards receiving this year, when you factor in that we think they're going to run the football more effectively with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you have the number one wide receiver in the league, you have the number one tight end in the league, and we think that Mahomes has the ability to spread the ball around, I would happily take 800 yards this year and 6 touchdowns from McColl Hardman. If you get that, I think you have a really productive player. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined in studio by Jay Binkley. We'll talk some Chiefs training camp. I was actually out at Chiefs training camp today. I'll tell you what I observed. And conference realignment still hot and heavy here in Big 12 country. We'll get to it. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Someone text in. C-Dot, this will be Mecole Hardman's breakout year. He's focused. What I really like about the quote a couple of days ago from Mecole Hardman is, I think he understands how important this season is. If Mecole Hardman goes out there and has a really strong season, and you can prove, hey, I was behind Sammy Watkins once I got the opportunity to move up to be the number two, I took full advantage. When he hits free agency, Rob, he's going to be, what, potentially 25, 26 years old? Hey, I've been behind Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill for so long. When you think about it, the best that we've seen Mecole Hardman so far in the league was when Tyreek was hurt early on. Mecole Hardman's rookie year, those 8 games where Tyreek was out with the shoulder injury in the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's when we've seen the best version of Mecole Hardman. A good season this year, a strong number two wide receiver seasons, puts you in a position where if you have to negotiate with another team that's not Kansas City, hey, I've proven I can be a strong number two alongside a really good one in the fashion that Tyreek Hill is, but if somebody goes down, I can step up and I can perform. So I think Mecole Hardman certainly understands how important this time is for him and how important this individual season is and the opportunity that's at stake. Right now, there's a lot of time on the field that's available now without Sammy Watkins. We can make our jokes on Sammy Watkins. He played more snaps last year than Mecole Hardman. It's an opportunity to move up the depth chart, move up a rung on the ladder. Let's see if Mecole Hardman takes full advantage of that. I want to play this for you really quickly as we talk a little conference realignment. Here is a Texas senator just dunking all over the Longhorns.
What's your athletic budget?
It's over $200 million. It's probably 220, 225 in that range.
Where does that put you in the U.S.?
Depending on how you count, probably first.
And that's without a winning football team of late.
It's in spite of our football team. We've been winning, just not like we like to win.
3-7 against the Horned Frogs. maybe your fan base would rather lose to Alabama than TCU.
I mean, Texas is getting it from all sides right now. The fact that that man had to really explain how bad their football program has been these last couple of years and got absolutely torched in front of everybody, you know Texas is wearing this. I saw a tweet a couple of days ago. It's from Kurt Bowles, who has been a longtime sports writer for the Austin Statesman. And Rob, he made a really interesting point that the tide really started to turn in Austin, he believes, once they got passed up by Iowa State. This season, Iowa State is the second best football team in the Big 12. Oklahoma's one, and Oklahoma, for the most part, has always been better than Texas. But Texas at least could kind of puff their chest out and say that they were the second best football program in the Big 12. Now, we've seen certain years, Baylor's been good, Texas Tech has been good, Kansas has been good, Oklahoma State's been good. Like, we've seen some other programs kind of come and go. Once Iowa State got Matt Campbell, they have passed up Iowa. They're doing it with not the recruiting base, not the funding, not the athletic budget, and they are better than Texas. And Kurt Bowles of the Austin Statesman says that he thinks that's one of the biggest factors in which Texas felt like they had to do something else because they've been embarrassed by how they performed in the Big 12. So right now, Bob Bowlesby to me is a marriage counselor trying to keep together a marriage that probably should have ended about 6 months ago. If you're at the point in your marriage where the last ditch effort is marriage counseling, it's probably not going to work. Some of you maybe have been in this situation, had friends in this situation. If you've tried everything and the last ditch effort for you to stay together is marriage counseling, you're probably going to get a divorce. Right now, Bob Bowlesby is coming up with all sort of ideas to keep the Big 12 together. His most recent idea, Bob Bowlesby is meeting with Pac-12 commissioner today to discuss the possibility of a schedule alliance, merger, or other options for their conference to strategically work together. If you're the Pac-12, is it better to work with the Big 12 or simply take their most valuable remaining assets? I'm guessing it's probably more valuable to you to just take what you want from their conference. At this point, it is a every man for himself situation, and everybody is out here trying to get a dollar. If Oklahoma can break away from Oklahoma State, if Texas A&M initially can break away from Texas, what is stopping any team that's remaining in this Big Eight to break away from the pack? So Mike Vernon, who's going to be on the show later, he has been, I think, at the forefront of this from the Kansas Jayhawk perspective. He tweeted this out. My understanding, the Big 12 team is trying everything to keep the remaining group together. Bowlesby has a shot at creating a plausible solution. Hardly breaking news here, but I don't think this is going to be KU's top preference. And then someone else, Kevin Flaherty, who works for 24/7, said accurate. I'm going to continue to give Kansas this free advice. I understand that I cheer for Missouri, but in this, I come in peace. This is not about jokes. This is not me playing old basketball games in which you've lost in the NCAA tournament. I'm giving you some free PR. If you get the opportunity to leave this conference, you should leave immediately. If the Big Ten offers you and you think it's a real offer that you need to start pushing that through the necessary powers that be at the Lawrence level and the state level, you need to be on that ASAP. If you think you got a chance to join the ACC and join the greatest basketball conference that we've ever seen before, you need to consider doing that. If you got an opportunity to join the Pac-12, and I understand from a geographical fit, it probably wouldn't make a lot of sense, doesn't really align with who Kansas is as a university. But at this point, it's about doing what's best for you. Not about doing what's best for K-State, not about what's doing best for Iowa State or Baylor or TCU. Haven't we seen in the matters of conference realignment, you are only looking out for self? Nebraska's not looking out for the group. Missouri's not looking out for the group. A&M, Maryland, Rutgers. You think about it. None of these other institutions are looking out for the group. So why should Kansas do this? Kansas, this idea of the remaining eight schools is a terrible idea. If you got the opportunity to get out, Rob, I'm telling you to tell your university to get out.
They should absolutely get out. But I also feel like, to your point about Bob Bowlesby being a marriage counselor, I don't think this fits in the analogy, but he has to do it. It's his job. He can't come out there and say, listen, the other eight, you're on your own. Fend for yourself. Go get it. 2025, this conference doesn't exist. Because that'd be career suicide for Bob Bowlesby. He's trying his hardest to hold this thing together with just hope and prayer. And I get it. But, and this is not just for Kansas fans. Kansas, Iowa State, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU. West Virginia, I think, is going to very safe stop. Bob, they're in this category too. If another Power 5 conference begins to flirt with you, you should 100% look into the viability of that option. You should not consider this pact of eight a real thing. Because even if in this pie-in-the-sky, perfect world, rainbows and unicorns, everything is happy-go-lucky, the Big 12 stays together, this eight group, it's still only the Power 4 conferences. Because the Big 12 having eight people is no longer a Power 5 conference. It's not. It has fallen by the wayside. So if you're a school in that conference, if your game plan is stick it out with the eight, your game plan is bad. So find a dance partner. I think Kansas of the Big Ten makes sense. Kansas of the ACC to become a superpower basketball conference also makes sense. I know we've gotten our jokes off about K-State, but if the Pac-12 makes a call to Manhattan, they should be on the first flight to the Pac-12. This is what you have to do if you're a school in there. You come out publicly and you say, we love this conference. It's kumbaya. But quietly behind closed doors, like Oklahoma and Texas just did, find your escape route because that's the only path to success because Big 12, no longer a Power 5 conference.
This is exactly what happened to the Big East. This is exactly what happened to the Big East. The ACC and other conferences started picking off your best teams. And eventually you faded into obscurity. Like, look at it. Look at the history of the Big East. There's a great 30 for 30, Requiem for the Big East. Watch how the league was put together, why it was put together, And eventually, once stronger, more stable conferences started to come and started to pick off certain groups, it was over. Miami was in the Big East for football. They then got a better offer to join the ACC. They then joined the ACC. Virginia Tech, another football school, was in the Big East. They got a better offer to join the ACC. They joined the ACC. Pittsburgh did the exact same thing. Syracuse eventually ended up doing the exact same thing. West Virginia eventually left the Big East and eventually went to the Big 12. Is this not the exact same model? We've seen now in the Big 12, we have seen Nebraska leave, Colorado leave, Missouri leave, Oklahoma leave, and Texas leave. Your most valuable football assets in the last decade have all decided to join another conference. The writing is on the wall here. Either you stay the conference that you are and you lose incredible credibility. The Big East is not a marquee basketball conference anymore. The average college basketball fan could not tell you who's in the Big East right now. They could not tell you who's in the Big East. This went from, you guys remember back in the day, Big East, Big Monday. It was the Big East game at 6 o'clock. It was the Big 12 game. And that was a staple every Monday night in the winter. That's what we used to do. That's over. It's dead. It died. And the pattern of being picked off by other stronger conferences is almost identical here in the Big 12. It's over. Bob Bowlesby, I get it. It is your job as the commissioner to figure out a situation to keep all these teams together because, again, that's your job. It ain't Kansas's job to make this work. It's not K-State's job to make this work or Oklahoma State's. It's about doing what you feel is in the best interest for your institution. And the best interest of Kansas is not staying in this conference. The best interest, I would say, for K-State is not staying in this conference anymore. It's about finding a space that you feel is viable for you for the foreseeable future as we are entering a ever-changing landscape. Streaming rights are a much bigger deal than they were the first time conference realignment came together. Name, image, and likeness is now a thing. It wasn't a thing before. Other conferences are stronger now than they were during the last round of conference realignment. The SEC just added Texas A&M and Missouri. Two non-football powers. They've now added two football powers. You got to really start to be aggressive and you got to make moves and you got to figure out what's best for you. And what's best for you is not staying in the Big 12, in my opinion. Keep it locked in right here. We'll talk about this plus a little Chiefs training camp with Jay Binkley, who'll join us in studio. Bink up next. Keep it locked in right here. 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Everybody right now, do me a favor. If you have a lighter, put your lighter up in the air. If you don't have a lighter, turn the flashlight on your cell phone and hold it up in the air. We're doing this for Binkley's preseason predictions. They're already dead. It's over. Binkley has been screaming at me for months of how the Colts were better than the Bills, and he loved the Colts' offensive line. Carson Wentz was going to turn things around. Carson Wentz, broken bone in his foot. Somehow it's contagious. I don't know how, but Quentin Nelson now has the same affliction. So I just want everybody to put your hands up really quickly. Sway back and forth with me while you're holding your lighter or your cell phone. If you got a drink, pour out a little bit of it. We're pouring it out for the Indianapolis Colts season as they appear to be 6-11, 5-12 ready, Bink.
So I don't get your point here, see that, Rob? I understand. You know what we're talking about here. It's the unfortunate situation that happened to those Indianapolis Colts. But what's your guys' point?
It's over. It's dead.
What's over?
I want you to denounce the Indianapolis Colts on this show. Denounce them.
I'll denounce them.
Denounce them.
I did last night and I did today. I said, I'm taking them out of the bubble. That was a topic last night, a topic today, playing a little Ian Rappaport. I said, man, Wentz might be done anyway when Nick Foles comes rolling into town at 32 years old.
You know, mentally, he's done.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if you heard Nick Foles yesterday. He was peacocking. He says, I'm better than when I won a Super Bowl. Said, I am. He said, Frank Reich might be the best coach I've ever been around. Like, he was posturing and positioning himself for a job with the Colts. Carson Wentz, he's coming to take your job. If I'm Carson Wentz, like, I hate Nick Foles. I hate everything about him. He's going to come, because they're going to start off with, say, 4-2, something like that, and they're going to stick with Nick Foles. Think about this, C-Dot. He says, he had the nerve to say, the new version of him. Hey, Rob, can you flip this one on? I don't know if it's off or not, because usually this one is, but 9 seconds. 9 seconds of peacocking.
Listen, I'm 32. I feel great. The version of me right now is much better than the version that played in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that. And I'm confident in that. So put that through your mind.
Put that through your mind.
Put that through your mind.
He's peacocking. He's third stringer in Chicago. That's a lot of talk for a third stringer.
He is way behind in the depth chart.
I'm just saying.
He can't even see the field. And I'm not even talking about getting on there. Like, he might not even be allowed to leave the huddle. But he might not even be allowed to leave the sideline. They might have him in quarantine.
In mind, you're not supposed to do this. This is tampering.
Frank Reich is one of my favorite, if not favorite, coaches of all time.
You played for the Bears.
He understands me as a player.
He understands
me as a person.
Yeah. You play for the Bears.
He understands him as a player and a person.
You're all up to the Colts.
Don't you want to be understood as a player and as
Nick
a person?
Nick just wants a call. Coach, what's up, man? I want to come take Carson Wentz's job again.
It's open. Someone on the text line says, Bink, don't call him Carrington. His name is Chargers Dot. If I'm Chargers Dot, you're Colts Dot.
Browns dot.
Your Colts.
I like the Browns better than the Colts, and I've made that clear.
You had Indy as the second best team in the AFC.
That is not true.
Rob. Rob's neutral here. Rob, who did Bink have as the second best team in the AFC? Because I swear it was the Indianapolis Colts.
He had a tier system that included the Chiefs by themselves.
Okay. All right.
And then he had the Browns and Colts on tier two.
And the Bills. In the Bills.
But you had the Colts and Browns both ahead of the Bills.
But I had the Browns ahead of the Colts.
Okay, let me ask you right now. Who's the second best team in the AFC?
Right now?
Right now, today, August 3rd, 2:40.
I'm still going to say Buffalo because they
you
took
said,
the step.
You were hesitant to say Buffalo. You were hesitant.
1A, Cleveland's 1B. And keep in mind, I'm not one of these Johnny come lately. I love the Cleveland Browns roster. I've been saying this crap.
You have been saying
since
this.
The free agency. Rob, you know this too. I'm higher on the Browns than I am the Colts.
Who wins more games this season, the Colts or the Broncos?
That's so hurtful. Come on now. Don't do that to the Colts.
I'm asking a question.
That's too low on the Colts.
I just want to know who you guys think wins more game, the Colts or the Broncos?
Nick Foles and the Colts do.
One of those teams has a head coach. The other team has, what, the old man of the sea in Drew Lock. Colts are going to outwin the Broncos. Come on now.
Indy's sitting with Jacob Eason right now, right? They need a little love.
They need a lot of love. You want to know how bad it is? They're clamoring for Nick Foles or Gardner Minshew. It tells you everything you need to. Have you seen the Colts schedule the first 5 weeks of the season?
It's rough.
It is nearly impossible now without who they have at quarterback. Now, I'm not saying that you were going to win these games either way. You had Carson Wentz as your quarterback. The first five games for the Indianapolis Colts are, let me pull it up here really quickly. The computer, you know, sometimes we got dial up here over at Odyssey. Let me pull it up here for you guys really quickly. These are the first five games. Seahawks, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens. First 5 weeks of the season. Colts might start off 0-5.
It's not good. It's not good for them. But I'll say this. Oh, Julio Jones got hurt yesterday. I mean, Vrabel's not real worried about it.
Everybody getting hurt right now, though.
I'm just saying, Tennessee can't play defense. Right now, the Colts don't have a quarterback. And Quentin Nelson's a major blow to that offensive line. He is the best guard of the National Football League.
I think you could argue that Quentin Nelson is the best offensive lineman in the NFL.
If you want to say all-around offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, they lost the best lineman. I say guard because he's not a tackle. Obviously, I'd put Trent Williams ahead of him, to be quite honest with you, but still lost the best guard. You can make an argument top two, three offensive linemen in the league.
Right now, we're talking to Jay Binkley. We'll do Ask Binkley here coming up momentarily. 913-576-7610. If you got a question for Bink, go ahead and throw it in there. Let's just start with this because I like getting your vantage point on this. What's the most interesting thing in camp? I think the most interesting thing in camp right now is Trey Smith at right guard.
I think so, too. You know, here's a guy I really like, Trey Smith. Told you guys, this is my favorite pick in the draft that the Chiefs made, just considering because of where he was selected. I mean, the value was tremendous. This guy, four-round different in talent. Second-round talent, you can make an argument in 3 years that Trey Smith should have been a first-rounder. It's going to be kind of like a Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Legarius Sneed type of deal where, say, this guy should have gone in the first round. That's going to be Trey Smith. But I like his attitude, and I've been sold on the guy. Just listening to him talk about taking people's wills away, pancaking him, how the coach in high school told him he was soft, and he went home and flipped that switch. He said, no more, no more. And now he just likes throwing people around. He threw Dirty Dan around today. Dirty Dan got a taste of Trey Smith on a stunt.
He's like 200 pounds bigger than
still
that
man. Still, though, man.
He feels like still it,
though. I mean, Dirty Dan's still pretty strong dude, though, man.
He's a strong guy.
He's a pretty strong guy, but Trey Smith disposed of Dirty Dan pretty fast.
One thing I like about Trey Smith and the opportunity to watch him today, because I was watching their one-on-one drills, is, and you've mentioned this a lot with Kelechi Osemele and having that bruiser, that physical type offensive lineman. They didn't have anybody on their offensive line once the injury started to happen that you feel could punch somebody in the mouth. Like running the football, to use an old school football cliche, a lot of it is want to and will. And you got to want to beat your guy off the spot. I only feel like I saw that kind of mindset two times last season. I think we saw it the first game of the season. I think we saw it against Buffalo. For the most part, this team just wasn't really a ground and pound. We're going to run the football today, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. I do feel like with Trey Smith, he provides that level of nastiness that I think you need on the offensive line. They got it on the defensive line. I don't know if they had it on the offensive line. I think he adds that.
No, this offensive line's completely different as far as mentality with it. Creed Humphrey, he's a nasty customer as well. I just really like the combination. And, you know, rookies on this team, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, they're going to be part of the future. I mean, you have to look at this offensive line. They're going to be here for a minute. You know, with Orlando Brown, probably get that extra contract. Trey Smith, still on the rookie deal. Of course, Creed Humphrey. You're going to see these guys for a while. What you're seeing is the foundation for what this offense is lying going forward. And, you know, and next year, they'll get even more praise. And by 2023, you know, the Chiefs might, people start looking at them and say, okay, this is the best offensive line in the NFL at this point with some of those guys. And I remember Mitch Holtis that joined me that one Saturday when the rookies were up here. And this before Trey Smith had been out with the ones, right? 2 days before that. And Mitch had said, if they played a game tonight, man, I think Trey Smith's a starter. That's what he said. This before they even got on the field. So he's been flashing in front of people. Today, you got to put the pads on and hit people is what he likes to do. But he's completely different off the field, you know. When he said there were Jeff Schwartz and the – I can see this guy as a coach as well. He's up there, you know, drawing X's and O's, what his favorite type of plays are. His favorite type of plays are plays where he can punish people, and that's what's good about Trey Smith. And, again, you're talking about guys in Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, Orlando Brown, guys that didn't give many sacks at all and really weren't penalized very much either. A very nice combination this offensive line has.
Binkley, if we were playing like Jay Binkley Family Feud and we had to put on the board, like what are things that Jay Binkley loves the most? You know, beer might be on there. Yeah. Maybe a good chew might be on there.
Sure.
Football.
If it's cold, I like
football would certainly be on there. You know what else you also love?
What?
Football players talking in press conferences. I got Mecole Hardman here.
I think it's probably one of my most important seasons coming into this training camp. So I think it's just up to me, you know, personally to do what I need to do and take advantage of every opportunity that's given to me and just, you know, gain the trust of, you know, the coaches, you know, the rest of the staff and Pat, you know, and my teammates and just show them that, you know, I can be a viable asset every Sunday or whatever day we plan on day in, day out and just, you know, continue to improve on my game as the season goes.
I think that is the audio cut so far of Chiefs training camp. Mm-hmm. I do look at him as being sort of at a crossroad in his career, and what is he going to be? What's the next level? I think most people can identify there is another level for Mecole Hardman. Is that level him turning into a 1,000-yard receiver, or what I think is probably more realistic for him being a 750, 800-yard guy who can get you 6 touchdowns this season? If Mecole Hardman can be that, I think it's a plus season for him.
Yeah, I like that cut from him. But I liked when Tyreek Hill was talking about Mecole Hardman a little bit better. Because Tyreek Hill laid it out. And he's like, yeah, I've talked to him. He's matured. And I've told him, you know, if Andy Reid tells you to do something, you got to do it, man. If the coaches tell you to do one thing, you do that. Trust me. Do what the coaches say. It'll take you a long way. I mean, that's Tyreek Hill basically putting it out there in black and white for Mecole Hardman, what he needs to do to advance. And yeah, Mecole can say these things. Eric Bieniemy was extremely high on Mecole Hardman yesterday when he talked, and he flat out was being honest with me. He said, I didn't think we had a good day today. Thought the defense was better, but he raved on Mecole Hardman. Again, Mecole Hardman had an opportunity last year when Sammy Watkins did a lot of other stuff that I'm waiting to see somebody else do. And I haven't seen Mecole Hardman's more of the 9 route, the vertical route. He's gotten better at the route tree. That's one thing Tyreek Hill, he was known for a speed guy, vertical, get down the field. But he really worked on the route tree and being an every down wide receiver that you could trust on third round, curls, ins, outs, everything he could do, he really transformed himself a good receiver. That's the stuff I want to see from Mecole. Sammy Watkins gave him and DeMarcus Robinson and to some extent Byron Pringle that opportunity. Can you step in and do it? And Pringle, to me, took more of a step than those two guys combined because Sammy Watkins was more than just a catch. He was when he doesn't get the ball, what's he do? Sammy Watkins was a tough customer when he was playing. Didn't mind hitting you. He would go in and lay people out. He didn't mind blocking. He did the type of things for an ex-receiver. Like, I'm waiting for these guys to take that out. I'm not sure, you know, McCole's got that physicality of a Sammy Watkins. There's a lot about Mecole Hardman's game I like. But it's good hearing him, you know, step up. Now it's time to do it because I felt last year was that time as well. When Sammy Watkins out of lineup, you got to kick down that door and be the guy.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll give you an opportunity to ask your questions to Jay Binkley and hashtag Ask Bink. Bink, we're going to do something a little bit different today. So Rob has actually challenged you to a game. I think you're going to smoke him in this game, but I do want to see how competitive Rob can be. So I asked Rob a couple of days ago, I said, if I ask you a team, can you tell me what college football conference they're in? He says, I think I'll get every single one right. And I'm like, you think you could beat Bank? And he's
conference like, is what college they went to.
Conference. No, I'm just gonna give you a school and I want you to tell me what conference they're in. I'm gonna play a little quick hot potato between you and Rob and see how you fare. Rob thinks he can beat you with this. I don't think he can beat you. I think you are the Schwab when it comes to this kind of stuff. I think you're unbeatable when it comes to this.
We'll see, Rob. I mean, I love that game you guys were playing. I was screaming at my
I don't know if anybody
screaming
else
at my
loved
radio
it.
When you might have during been the day only, in BYU, but
you might have been the only one that loved
everyone
it.
Everyone in our building loved it. The people listening, they didn't love
you
it.
You might have been the only one that loved it. Rob, hit my music. Big SMU.
SMU?
What conference are they in?
They are in the American Athletic Conference.
Marshall, Rob.
Conference USA.
Army, Bink.
Army is in the American Athletic Conference.
They're independent, right?
Oh, yeah, Navy's in, Army's independent. Navy's in the AAC. My bad.
You already
It was Navy, not Army. Army's independent, yes.
You missed one already?
I did. I whipped. Quickly corrected it, but yes.
Bink! Does Santa Claus exist?
Nah.
I can't believe you did this to me. Rob, Eastern Michigan.
The Mac.
Mac. Bank. Back what though? Mac East or West?
Ooh, he got you there.
They're the East.
West.
Mm. Ooh, Bink, Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern. Sun Belt.
Rob, Texas State.
I think that's Sun Belt.
Also in the Sun Belt.
Sun Belt
East or West.
Sun Belt, Fun Belt, baby.
Sun Belt, East or West.
I mean, they're in Texas. It's got to be West.
Yes. Bink, let me ask you a question. Do you love Thursday night football more or Tuesday night Maction?
Tuesday, Wednesday. They expanded to Tuesday and Wednesday now. Maction's the answer.
You want to know when the Mac really hit its peak? Jordan Lynch.
Northern Illinois.
Jordan Lynch was something that only hardcore college football fans knew. Every Tuesday, you were watching what you thought was the best player in college football. It was so much fun. I don't know what Jordan Lynch is up to these days. He's probably training kids. But Jordan Lynch, I hope you're having a great day.
What about Nate Davis, Ball State out there? He was cooking on Tuesday nights.
You definitely loved Nate Davis.
I covered an arena football game with the Kansas City Brigade. Nate Davis out there playing.
100%.
And Chris Leak was out there too.
Rob, Old Dominion.
Conference USA.
Bank.
East or West?
Ooh. Does Conference USA have an East and West?
Yeah.
I'm going to say since they're in Virginia, the East.
Good job.
Tulane.
Tulane is AAC, I believe.
They are in the American Athletic Conference. That concludes our rapid fire. Can you beat Bink?
Didn't I say I would beat him? I beat him, right? Do I get points for this?
I give it to you because I slipped up for a second.
He beat you that time. That kind of hurts me that he beat you.
I know, but I quickly corrected.
That actually really hurts me that you lost.
I quickly corrected the Navy.
I was going to put all my student loan debt on you.
I got you.
Now
you got me.
Now it's terrible for me. Thanks, Bink.
You want to hear something?
Of course.
This is why I play the game. I mean, I love beating people up, man. I love just like knocking someone down, rolling over them, you know, just talking in their head after the play's over with. But it's just sort of my personality. If you know me, I'm sort of a goon, but I just really enjoy the violence aspect of playing football.
Trey Smith, I just had to get it out there. That's my favorite quote from training camp. You played yours, I played mine.
Okay. I actually really like that quote. That's what you want your offensive lineman to say. You want your offensive lineman to want to beat people up.
Yeah. It's Trey Smith.
That's the thing about football.
Dirty Dan saw some of that today.
You got to love contact. Like, you got to love the aggression part of it.
I agree, man. Dirty Dan got it.
I remember asking Mitchell Schwartz one time, like, you know, we were talking off the air, and I was just like, you know, like, what gets you to that place? You know, like, you got to get to, like, a certain level of your brain to be able to tap into how good of a football player Mitchell Schwartz was. And he was like, fear of failure. You know, right. Like, I don't want to fail. People love football for different reasons, but the I just want to hit and hurt people is certainly a good reason to enjoy playing football.
Clutchio Simile into – I know everybody's saying, you know, Will Shields. He's got some KO in him, man.
Coming up on the other side, we'll let you ask your questions to Bink. Hashtag AskBink, 913-576-7610. Continue to hold your lighters up for Bink's Indianapolis Colts. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.